Good morning to each one. It's good to see each all here. And we'll see if we can get this going. While we're doing that, we're going to turn, first of all, to the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. Might need new batteries, we'll see. It'll come. All right, so we'll turn to, first of all, and the pictures will come in a minute, the book of 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. And we'll just read verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 7. It's coming. First Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Trust that God will bless what we have read together this morning. Thankful for the invitation to be here with everyone this morning. Everyone says, welcome home. I'm not sure if we're home, but we're here. And we're thankful for the time that we can be back here in Winnipeg and in Parkview and back with the assembly here in Winnipeg. Thankful again for the invitation, and we look forward to the rest of the conference and listening to others as they would bring the Word of God to us. Before we start, there was this verse here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7 that really spoke to us and to me a number of months ago. We think about it in relation to the Apostle Paul, as we know he is writing once again to the Corinthian believers. In this chapter, he's going to contrast a number of things in chapter 4. He's going to contrast things that are hidden and things that are open, that which is lost and that which is now revealed. There is the darkness and there is the light. There is the God of this world and there is the God who commands the light to shine out of darkness. There is the contrast of the servants and the Lord. There is the knowledge that preserves and the knowledge that is going to empower. And we come to the end of chapter 4, and we find the reason for not fainting. And what is that? It's a focus on that which is eternal. A focus on that which is eternal. And the Apostle Paul knew this was how he was going to be sustained. And so the context there of the verse of 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. I want to focus for a moment on the possession that we have here in verse 7. The possession that is described here as the treasure. And I would suggest it refers back, first of all, to verse 6, the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Or perhaps further back to verse 4, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. And so the treasure would give to us the idea of a great wealth, of a great deposit. The word is first used in Matthew of the wise men as they came to present their gifts before the Lord. They opened unto him their treasures. But where is this? Where is the possession found? It's found in earthen vessels. It reminds us of our beginning. It reminds us of how fragile and really how temporary this life is. If you look down at chapter 5 and verse 2, we're looking for that house which is eternal. We're looking for that which is eternal in our lives. Yet here we are in this life. In this earthly house, it's in this vessel that we labor. As chapter 5 and verse 9 would say, therefore we labor, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. The possession. But what of the power? It is a power that is far beyond. It is absolute power and abundant power. Chapter 4 and verse 4, we understand that Satan may blind the minds, but we understand that it is God who gives the light of the knowledge. It is God who gives the knowledge of himself. How exceeding, how far surpassing is this power? We ask ourselves, then, what is the purpose of this? What is the purpose of this power? And we understand that it might be visible. We might make visible that this abundance is of God and not of ourselves. Earthen vessels, yes, limited, temporary. Yet God has chosen to put in them this immense treasure. And when another has said, when the wonderful things of God are entrusted to weak vessels, there is no opportunity for self-glory. And we trust we understand what that is, to understand what God has put into each one of our lives that are saved, and the lesson that we will learn ourselves, that others understand and see the power of God himself, that the world would value the treasure more than they would value the vessel that the treasure is in. And so for ourselves today, this would be our desire for the report today. And yes, we are there. And yes, there are events and circumstances that surround our family. But really, as we understand the words of the Apostle Paul in Acts 14, as we came back to the city of Antioch, they spoke of all that God had done with them. And so we trust that we understand today that God is working in his ways, and we all must understand and see that for ourselves, and understand the vessel that God has put this immense treasure in, that we may value the treasure. I'll keep the geography lesson to a minimum, but some do ask just where St. Lucia is, and if you do open up Google Maps, you aren't going to find St. Lucia. It's a little red dot on the left side on the bottom, and if you blow it up a little further and zoom in a little further, you'll find St. Lucia is a little island on one of in the chain of islands in the Caribbean. There's Martinique and Dominica to the north, and St. Vincent and Grenada to the south. It's over 5,000 kilometers from where we are sitting here to the island of St. Lucia, but if you're going to compare them in size, you may be interested to notice that if you have the maps at the same zoom level, then the island of St. Lucia would pretty much fit inside the perimeter of the city of Winnipeg. And so you can see the relative size there. Just a little bit in relation to some facts of St. Lucia. You'll notice a very mountainous island, as you can see from the colors there on the picture. St. Lucia has a population of about 170,000 people. A very small island, only 43 kilometers in length and 23 kilometers at its widest point, or in the middle of the island. 2019 was a big year for the island. It celebrated the 40th year of anniversary of independence from being a British island. And so there were lots of celebrations for that. The island is quite small, and so when we do drive, while the time does take a while to drive from one place to the other, from our place, which is up in the north, north of Castries, down to the international airport down the south, it's a long distance of 60 kilometers, and that's about as far as we would drive any given time, though that would take about an hour and a half to do so. The island of St. Lucia attracted over 1.2 million visitors in 2018. That's over seven times the population coming to the island, and most of them coming during 4 or 5 months in the winter. Over 800,000 of those visitors would have come by cruise ships, and the other two-thirds would be staying over. As you can see, it's a very mountainous island, a very scenic island, and there are some pictures there in relation to some mountains called the Pitons near the town of Soufre. Tourism has taken over as the largest single industry after the loss of foreign markets for what was a very profitable and a very thriving banana industry. And so that's it for geography. For ourselves, it was 18 months ago that we packed up our bags, and I think it was 10 suitcases plus some hand luggage, and piled onto the plane to make our trip to St. Lucia. When we arrived in St. Lucia, we went initially to an apartment that the believers at the Forestair Assembly have above the hall. Very accommodating for us to be able to get going as we sought to seek to live and to settle in to the island of St. Lucia. The first few weeks were interesting as we tried to settle in. I think I lost 15 pounds, mostly probably in sweat, just going around and keeping going in relation to setting up and setting up life, trying to find a home, trying to find a vehicle, setting up bank accounts and finding a phone and just various things that we take for granted in life here that we have. And those that have moved from one country to another know what it's like to try and set up and get going in life. We're able to find a vehicle after a couple of weeks. There is Titus standing in front of the vehicle that we're able to purchase. It's a Toyota Noa van, and very appropriately, it only has 8 seats. And so we are thankful for that. All vehicles come from Japan. We drive on the left in St. Lucia, and so used vehicles are brought over on a boat from Japan. In going down to St. Lucia, there were a number of places that we were hoping to be able to live, similar to places that I was familiar with from houses that we lived in as a child. We wanted to be south of the capital of Castries, and I wanted to be on the upside of a hill, and I wanted to be in the upstairs of a building. And you may ask, well, why do you want that? And really, the answer is that traffic in Castries can be very difficult to get through. And when you're on the upside of the hill, you can, not to look down on people, but you can see who's coming to see you, as opposed to looking up the hill. And when you're on the upstairs of a building, you can catch a little more breeze. But the Lord had other plans for us, and the place that we were able to have there on it's the bottom floor of the place you can see here, and it is on the downside of a hill, and it is north of Castries. And so we are thankful for what God has brought to us, and we appreciate that God has his plans and God knows best in the place that we're at. Last summer, I was listening to a message from Brother Crawford Brown, the missionary in Brazil. He had a message on time management, and I was needing some advice and needing some encouragement as we were seeking to live there in St. Lucia. Just to borrow his outline for a moment, as it has some impact and some bearing on aspects of both Trina and myself. There is a time to learn. And we think of what it is to go to a new country, as a new culture. English is the main spoken language, but there is a local patois that we are seeking to pick up and to pick away at. There's time to learn, to be a part of a new country that we are now living in. It's a time of great change, really, for all of the family, in different ways. For myself, and just being there as an adult as opposed to a child, and for Trina and the children in living there rather than visiting as we have at times in the past. And so there is a time to learn. There is time to listen. There are those that have gone before. There are godly men and women that have served in St. Lucia and other places, and we can learn from their example, and we can listen to what they have to say and listen to their instruction. There is time needed to listen. There's time needed to live. And for those who have visited St. Lucia, life on a 5-star all-inclusive resort on a white sand beach is living, but not quite living there, if you understand what I mean. And so there are things that you can do that you can't do here and vice versa. There's some things you can pay online. You can pay with your phone. Other things you can't. And so if you're going to pay a phone bill, well, it's a 25-minute drive to be able to pay the phone bill. We use propane for our cooking, and it's just one of those small 20-pound propane cylinders, and so sometimes that runs out in the middle of cooking. When you're living there, and it's something that I guess my parents never had to deal with in having 2 boys, but it's not really socially acceptable to have messy hair when you're a girl, and so my wife has spent time trying to get the girl's hair nice. Not that anybody would say anything when you had messy hair, but when you have nice hair, you definitely hear comments about in relation to how nice the kids' hair look at that time. And so there's time to live. And when your vehicle breaks down, it's not you can go to Canadian Tire or your local dealership. While there are many towed vans on the island, the dealership chooses not to support used vehicles because they want you to buy new ones. And so when your vehicle breaks down, either hopefully dad and mom are coming down to bring something for you, or you have to order it online and wait for it to be shipped to you. So there is time to live. There's also time to lean. That daily refreshment that is needful in our own Christian life and experience. To be able to spend time in the presence of God, time in prayer and time in His Word. And if you've kept track of some of those L's, you'll notice that I haven't even spoken of time to labor. And sometimes we wonder at times what time there's left to be able to labor in the service of our Lord. We're conscious of entering into the labors of others. You see on the map behind me of a number of assemblies on the island and the years that they were established. As you can see, God has worked in a wonderful way in many years and years past. And the assembly in Castries, really for decades there. And in the way in which the gospel came in the late 70s and early 80s. And the assemblies that were established and formed at that time. So you have Castries and then Ciceron. And then Souffre and Forestier, Laguerre, and then Miku, and then the down the south in Labourie and Vieuxfort. The assemblies are continuing, and we're thankful for those believers that make up a part of them. And we trust that we will each know what it is to continue to pray for those that seek to be a testimony on the island of St. Lucia. Some have asked in different ways in which we have sought to labor. The ways we are seeking to work. There are needs of a building into those existing assemblies and the needs that they have. There's also the need to be able to go forth into areas that have not heard the gospel, and areas that have perhaps not heard the gospel for many years. The gospel have gone forth in many ways in 20, 30, 40 years ago. But yet it's a new generation that has grown up. And so there are opportunities in the gospel there as well. There's much religious confusion and distortion of the truth. And so the pure, plain teaching of the Word of God is necessary as we would seek to tell others of the truth of the gospel. There is children's work that is much larger in its needs than we had thought when we had planned to go down and were seeking to go down a few years ago. And while we would long to do more in many ways, there is also just the need to be able to work with others on a personal basis. There's a need to spend time with individuals, whether in their homes or in ours. And really, we could be out daily, keeping contact with those that I've known from the past, or those that we've come in contact with in the time that we've been there. And really, there's still some that over the past 18 months that I haven't seen. And you can say, well, it's a small island. Well, it is. But sometimes we just don't get to certain parts of the island to see people that we would desire to see. Next few slides, I have some pictures of a few of the assemblies, not all of them. This is some of the believers in the assembly in Laguerre. There's about 17 in the Fellowship of Laguerre Assembly. And for our family, we would usually seek to be there on a Wednesday evening. That's when they have their Bible study, and we try to be with them and help them in their Bible study. We've worked through the book of Leviticus, and now we are seeking to go through the book of Numbers. And their desire is to work through the whole of the Pentateuch. And so I'm not sure how long we'll spend doing that, but I seek will be a blessing for each one as they are there. To go across the island a little bit, this is the assembly in Forestier. There are 11 believers in fellowship there, and the picture includes some of the children who would regularly come for Sunday school. It is our desire to be there on a Sunday afternoon to help with the Sunday school. We take turns with another brother in the open Sunday school, and we also seek to be there on Thursday evenings for their Bible study as we work through the book of Psalms. This picture is of the assembly in Souffre. It would likely be one of the larger assemblies on the island, over 25 or 30 in fellowship. We're not often there, just due to the distance that it is from our place. But we really enjoy spending the month of March, just a few months ago, with them for a series of gospel meetings that we were there for 4 weeks. We're really encouraged by their desire for the lost, really encouraged by their desire to see others come in to hear the gospel, come in themselves. I think on most evenings, the majority of the assembly was there. They would rent vans or minibuses to bring in others who are a little farther away to be able to come to the assembly. Some nights there were more unsaved out than there were believers, and it was a great encouragement to them and to us as we see others hearing the gospel. Their desire to have them have a Bible and to welcome them when they came in, jumping up to ensure that each one have a Bible to follow along with, whether it's the dignified older lady, whether it's the gentleman who comes in smelling and acting of indulgence of alcohol, or the teenage single pregnant lady who comes in. Each one welcomed, each one with a desire to read the Word of God and to have them listen. So we're thankful for the time we're able to spend with them. We'll speak a little more of this a little later on this morning. This is the assembly in Ciceron that we seek to be with on most Sundays. There are seven in fellowship in the assembly in Ciceron, and we seek to be with them on a Sunday, most Sundays in a month, and also on Tuesday for their prayer and ministry meetings. And on Friday, there is the children's meeting, followed by the Bible study on Friday evening. I've learned much of the book of Job. They were in chapter 3 when we arrived in 2017, and we just finished. We were away in Sufre in March, and we finished the book. And so 18 months in the book of Job has certainly been much learning for myself. In the assembly in Ciceron, we've been privileged to have a couple of series of gospel meetings, one with our brother Pete in April of last year, and again in the fall with the brethren from Ciceron themselves. There are many that we pray for. There are many unsaved out each night, each Sunday evening, and they would come to a gospel meeting. Those that have heard the gospel regularly, and those that, for whatever reason, not only to the Lord, they at this point would not yet trust the Savior. Often as we are out in the community or walking up and down the streets, we'll meet those that are older, even perhaps those that are my age, and they remember when the gospel first came with our brother Owen, and sometimes they mistake me for one of brother Owen's sons, and they remember when the gospel first came. And they would often speak of, and understand the word as that was my church, as they would speak of it in that context. But yet life has caught up with them, and their choices they have made. And today they are no longer there, or no longer truly interested in hearing the gospel. So there are many that we pray for, many that we would seek to witness to there in Ciceron. We think of a typical Sunday for us, and we are thankful for strength and for safety that is given as we would continue week by week there in St. Lucia. Just in relation to what we would normally do on a Sunday, the breaking of bread is in Ciceron at 9:30, so we leave our home and travel to there. There's no Sunday school in Ciceron, just the children's meeting on Friday evening, so we'll head back home, grab a quick bite of lunch, and then head up to Forest Air for the Sunday school at 12:30. After that, we'll return back home and maybe prepare a little bit for the afternoon, or if there's a few moments, take a short nap, and then off to the place called Balata, there at 4 o'clock, where we've been seeking to bring the gospel to in a home, where I'll mention that a little further as well. Return back home after that, and then later on in the evening, return to the gospel meeting in Ciceron for 7:30. And all that traveling, we've only traveled 80 kilometers. But in time spent in the vehicle, it's been over 3 hours that we've spent as we've traveled from our home to the various assemblies and back again. And so, while you can work out the average speed that it is, most times we're not really traveling much more than 20 or 30 or 40 kilometers. There is a straight section where you can go 80 or 90, but you're usually hitting the brakes by the time you get up to that speed at that time. And so we're thankful for the way in which God has preserved in the traveling and the roads that we are on and traveling there in St. Lucia. As a child, I remember the children's meeting in the assembly in Cicerone. It wasn't the concrete building that you'll see there, but an old wooden building. And under the liveliness of the children, that old wooden building would creak and groan under the activity of those that were there. The children's meeting has kind of gone on and off over the years, and so along with our brother John Honor of the Cicerone Assembly, we've sought to restart that children's meeting and continue that even to this time. You ask yourselves, well, how do you restart? Well, you simply go out. You simply go out around the hall and seek to find the children. And you walk around day after day and Friday afternoon after Friday afternoon. And you seek to find the children. And you remind them of the time and you remind them of the place. And you invite them along and you go really every week. And sometimes they're going to remember and sometimes they're going to forget. And sometimes they're busy and sometimes their parents want them to do something else. And sometimes they come. And we're thankful for those that are there. A time, really, an hour, simply very similar to a children's meeting we would have here. Time for singing, a memory verse each week, and the Word of God, and a quiz to follow along. These pictures are from about a year ago, and the children have started to grow up since then. Thankfully, many are continuing to come. Some have dropped off. It really is a big change in behavior once the children move into secondary school, or what we would call grade 7 here. There's a lot of pressure, and it becomes almost not acceptable in their minds to be able to come to a children's meeting. And so there's much to pray for as these children come to an age of 13 or 12, 13, or 14. It's been a challenge to remember and to learn all the names as the various children's works that we are involved in. There are 4 children at Cicerone in the assembly, R3, and one other girl. And so when there are 10 or 15 or 20 or 25 children there, we can be thankful that it is the gospel that is going forth into houses that wouldn't be represented with the gospel or represented by family or those in the assembly. And so the children's work there in Cicerone. Moving a little further to the south of the island, this is the town of Anse-l'Arret. Before moving to St. Lucia, this town was on our minds. As we considered this place, I don't remember the gospel ever going before, and we were younger. I know our brother Pete and brother John were there in the year before we arrived as well. It's partway down the west coast of the island. It's only 20 kilometers or so, but it takes you 40 minutes to drive, depending on the traffic. It's a fishing village. Most people would be engaged in fishing in one way or the other, and if you're going to walk by the shore, walk by the sea, you're going to find the fishermen either mending their nets or washing their nets or repairing their boat as they would go out each day. It's a poor area of St. Lucia, an area where gospel texts or via are generally well received, but also a place where you're demanded for bread. And people would say, well, I can't eat the via, so what value is that to me? Thus far, we've made use of a rented building for the various meetings that we've had. The owner is very accommodating for us, and we're thankful for that. And likely some of the rent money has gone into making this the hottest pink building in the town of Anse-l'Arret. And if people don't happen to know the man, he's well known in the town. You can always point him to the pink building, which happens to be on Church Street in the island or in the town of Anse-l'Arret. That is the view on the street, and then we are able to use the upstairs of that building there in the bottom picture, and the picture on the top is the view from the upstairs of that building. Gospel meetings in the town have shown little interest among adults, and so the work really has been of a personal nature, continuing with via and with Bible texts and going about multiple times in the town in this manner. People often think we're just tourists and we're here for a week or two, and so it was needful to continue to be there and to seek to show them the consistency of our desire to spread the gospel in that town. The work has continued really amongst children. And after a week in April of last year with our brother Pete, we continued with 10 weeks of Monday Bible Hour, and Lord was able to work, and the Lord moved in bringing children along, some consistently. Sometimes they were occupied, sometimes they forgot. And each time we would go and just simply walk the town to invite the children and remind them of the Bible hour at that time. Picture on the left is inviting children at the school. The time when Hannah and Leo were down, they were thronged by the children, as you can see in that picture, as we were inviting the children after school. There on the bottom is Trina working with the children in relation to their memory verse each week, and at the top, and speaking to the adults on the street as well. The flexibility in Trina teaching our children has been very valuable to us. It's a heavy load of responsibility, and responsible for the teaching of the children in their schooling, as well as living and life and work. But when we leave home for Aunt Laray here about 3:30 in the afternoon to get down for the meeting, and then back again after 7 or 7:30, it's necessary in that way. Much of our time we spend together as a family. We are out and about as together, and we're thankful that the Lord has enabled us to be able to do that. With the children in Sunday school in Forest Air, and in the weekly children's meeting in Cicerone, and the weeks in Aunt Laray, and the weeks of Vacation Bible School, it does put some pressure on me at times. And sometimes when we're going to a meeting, the children will ask, well, is it going to be a new story tonight, or a new story today? And thankfully, again, the Lord gives help. I don't think there's been too many repeats thus far. This is the upstairs in the area, in the room there in Aunt Laray, and the children from a number of weeks ago. We've moved from going there weekly to going for a full week every couple of months. A time to focus on the gospel, a time to focus on the children, a time to build in the gospel throughout the week. It's a lively bunch, and most times they need some attention in that way, but we're thankful to learning the basic truths of the gospel. They're learning the basic truths of salvation. And the children remember that we're coming each week. When I'm in the town, often the adults will ask me if the Bible hour is on that day. And so we're thankful for the way in which the gospel is going forth. Remember again, there is no assembly testimony in this town. And so again, when there's 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 or 40 children that may gather on any given day, it is the gospel that is going forth into these homes. And we're thankful that it is God working. As we said from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. On the street, there is this on the left is a lady named Ira. On the right of Trina is a lady named Sandra. Ira lives on the same street. She's a grandmother, and I'm not sure how old she is, but a grandmother to many in the town. Often when we go a little early to get set up, and Trina has the enviable job of trying to control the children on the street and be able to speak to the children and some of the adults that are there as well. Not sure where Ira stands. She likes receiving Avaya. She'll read it. She'll read texts and the Bible verses that we'll give to her and speak to her at each time. One day I came back from inviting the children. It was starting to rain, and Trina and Ira were standing under a shelter, and I heard them singing. Well, mostly Ira singing. And this is what she was singing. Without him, I could do nothing. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Do not turn him away. Oh, how lost I would be. Without him, how lost I would be. Having a conversation with her sometimes is difficult. Sometimes you don't know the baggage, you might say, in terms of religious confusion that might be in the past. But we trust as the gospel is spoken to her day after day or week after week, and we leave those conversations with the Spirit of God to work in her life. The man here in this picture is named Mark. He was one of the first people that we had a longer conversation with in the town. Mark is a fisherman, and often he would go out over 10 miles up to sea twice a day to let down the nets and to bring back the fish that you can see on the right-hand side there they were selling. It's all live weight, and you pay $4 Canadian a pound for whatever fish that you would like that day. One day after visiting him and answering some of his questions, I asked to be able to come to his home, and he agreed. And so on a Wednesday, in the morning or afternoon, I try to go down every week on a Wednesday and meet with him in his home. If he's not in his little fisherman's dorm, a little space that's probably not much larger than 8x8, and where he lives, I'll walk around the town, and sometimes he's out, sometimes he's cleaning fish, sometimes he's selling fish, sometimes he's sitting by the bar. And sometimes when I come home, I ask Trina, is it possible to be high from secondhand marijuana? But I understand it's legal here now in Canada, so maybe I shouldn't be worried about it too much. Mark has questions, and sometimes we can answer them, and oftentimes we're going to just take the Word of God. Just take a single verse of Scripture and open it to him and try to show him some things of the Savior and what the Savior has done for him. There in the picture on the left, the day I came, he had just finished making his fish and bread over a coal fire, and I reminded of the Gospel of John, and so he invited me to sit down, and we ate fish that was swimming a few hours before, and we were soon surrounded by over 11 cats and a bunch of roosters and chickens who were all looking forward to the leftovers from our meal. We can pray for Mark. His interest has waned over the past number of months. I think he's come to a knowledge really of Scripture in some way, but yet there is not a desire to bow to the Word of God and to receive salvation for himself. And so we can remember to pray for him. With materials that were brought down and shipped down last year and graciously provided to us, we seek to cover the town a number of times with Vaya and with Tex. Here is a common view of a man who has received a Vaya, and he's sitting down there to read it. And you can see the centerfold there of the Vaya that he is reading at that time. We leave these messages of the Word of God for him to work, and it is the results for our Lord. I put this slide here just to remind us of something that we find important. It reminds us really of the value of a single soul, the value of one soul. In the upper picture on the right is the last day of Vacation Bible School in the assembly in Souffre. There was over 120 children plus adults that were packed into the concrete hall, and you can imagine the echo with the children there at that time. We're thankful for the opportunity for the children to come in and to hear. I'm not quite sure sometimes how much they're able to concentrate on with the amount of noise that can be there with that number of children. In the lower picture is a week last summer of Vacation Bible School in Laguerre. And we're thankful for the 30 or 40 children or so that were there, many coming each of the 5 days at that time. On the left-hand side is a picture of a house and a porch in the area of Balata that I mentioned already. It's where Brother Patrick and myself of the Laguerre Assembly, we have sought to go on a Sunday afternoon from 4 to 5 o'clock in the afternoon. We've sought to go there weekly since last August. Over 18 times we've been able to go and to share the gospel with those in the household there in Balata. There's a young man named Nikev. Sometimes his mother is there, sometimes his sisters. And again, it's just simply to take one verse and open up the Bible and to try and present to him something of the goodness of our Savior, something of the glories of our Lord Jesus Christ and the blessing of salvation that can be found. It's the value of one soul. And so we pray for them. The mother would be quite adamant in her own religion. Nikhev at some time seems so close. And sometimes he seems like he's counting the cost of what it would mean to trust Christ for himself. And so the value of one soul. You can say, well, wasn't it wonderful speaking to those children in Souffre? Well, it was. I think I lost my voice. I had a microphone. But even then, 120 children, just one opportunity. But here it was, and we were able to labor there in the area of Balata week after week. You can say, well, is it value spending an hour? Well, certainly. It's the value of a soul. And we trust that we will know what it is to continue, whether it's many or whether it's few, each one needing to hear the gospel. Take up a quote from Dr. Clark Logan of Botswana. He said, it is taking the gospel to anyone and everyone, everywhere and anywhere. And again, a quote from our brother Stephen Grant, something I mentioned here before we left in 2017. It's learning to do the small things regularly rather than the large things occasionally. That was part of our life here before we left. And it's something that we are continuing to learn in our daily life there in St. Lucia. Learning to do the small things regularly rather than the large things occasionally. And so the value of a soul. You've appreciated the way in which God has worked in a number of baptisms over the past year and a half. On the left-hand side, it's the tank, the baptismal tank in the assembly in Castries. And though we are not often there with other responsibilities, they invited us here for the baptism. There were five being baptized that day. And in the picture there is Sethra, one of the daughters of one of the couples in the assembly there. On the left-hand side, on the right-hand side, sorry, is Tabitha, and that is the assembly there in Laguerre. Tabitha was troubled in many gospel meetings. The Laguerre assembly supported meetings in Ancelaray and meetings in Ciceron, very exercised in bringing others out to the gospel. To come to the gospel meeting, they would rent buses. It's an hour drive or 45 minutes one way to come. It's the cost of renting a vehicle. But the desire to have their children hear the gospel. Desire for others to hear the message of salvation. And so they came. And she came and she was troubled in many occasions. But later on last fall, she received salvation and the assurance of salvation one night at her own assembly after the gospel meeting there in Laguerre. Tabitha is the daughter of Patrick and Lindell, and I've always appreciated the connection to the family as I was 8 years old when Lindell was saved, her mother, and able to go down to the sea and watch when she was baptized. And now here we are 30 years later, and our children are basically the same age as I was to Lindell, as they are to Tabitha, now 30 years later. And we're thankful again that it is God that is working. The excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Trina has sought to spend time with her, to have her in our home. She is in college and sometimes stops by on her way to or from college at that time. And so there is need for personal work. There is need for teaching not only in the assemblies, but also on a personal basis, having people in your home and seeking to show them and guide them in the word of God. I don't think this was the scene of Acts chapter 8, but I think you'll have to agree there is much water in the picture there at the top. This is on the edge of the bay in Souffre, and it is a baptism that we were privileged to be a part of again just a few weeks ago in March. A baptism of a couple there in the bottom. I did take a picture while they were praying. My daughters get after me for doing that, but I wanted to take a picture, and that was the best time to do it. Shem and Eva there in their desire to obey the Lord in baptism. The beautiful spot there to be baptized. But more so, what a public testimony. To be able to stand there by the sea. Fishermen there, people there enjoying their Sunday afternoon by the seaside. And the believers can gather and pray and sing. And this dear couple can obey their Lord in baptism. This baptism took place in March. As I mentioned, we were privileged to be there for 4 weeks of gospel meetings as we spoke alongside six different men from the assembly, and we appreciated being able to share the gospel with the believers from that assembly. We were living in Souffre. There was an apartment above the hall, which we appreciated being at, rather than driving back and forth from our apartment in the north of the island. Shem and Eva live about 45 minutes away from the assembly. We're thankful for their desire to come and to come as often as they can. We had them up before one of the gospel meetings to our home. Later on in March, they were going to be received into fellowship. And Shem says, "I can't wait. I can't wait." He says, "Sunday." This was during the middle of the week. He says, "Sunday, it's going to be the first time. It's going to be my time when I'm going to be part of the fellowship." And I trust, dear believer, we haven't lost that joy. But it is for those that are in assembly fellowship. that time when we first took our place, remembering our Lord Jesus Christ, and the joy that we had, and the joy that it brought to our Lord. Again, we are encouraged by the spiritual care of the Sufre Assembly. Shem, the husband in this family, Shem and Eva, Shem works with a brother from the assembly at the hotels. About a year ago, Brother Joe mentioned to me that there was this couple that he was been speaking to. He says, Shem, he speaks to me and he asks me a lot of questions, and I'm not sure if he's saved, but it should be good to see him. It should be good if he was saved. It should be wonderful if he'd be baptized, and be wonderful to be part of the assembly. And here we are in 2019, and there they are, part of the assembly there in Sufre. So we're thankful for the desire of believers to see others saved and brought to our Lord. There's another couple in the assembly. They're retired now, retired school teachers, Chris and Bertilia, and they have them over each week on a Saturday afternoon to read and to study the Word of God. It's taking time with these ones. And it was months before this dear couple was saved. It was months before they received the assurance of salvation. How often are we going to spend months working perhaps with just one couple that they might be saved? And that evening when Shem was over at our place, he says, for me, it was John 3:18, as he said it with tears in his eyes. Eva says, with great feeling, I was the woman of John 4. And there they are today, in happy fellowship, enjoying the fellowship of the assembly there in Sufre. Trust that God will bring more. And trust that God will work in the lives of others. And we're thankful it is God working. It's not our working. And we're thankful for those who are willing to be laborers together with Him in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our time is almost gone here, not to take away from other aspects of the work, but if it's included a few pictures of life and various aspects of St. Lucia. I've just titled these slides, maybe things you wouldn't necessarily see here in Canada. The road does continue. If you're wondering there, it doesn't stop. It's one of those places I've always told myself I need to bring my level or my compass and find out what the actual angle is of that road. But as Trina says, sometimes you wonder what the law of gravity actually is and is there a point at which you are going to tip over. And so the roads necessarily aren't for the faint of heart. And when you go to Sufre, there's over 250 curves and over 30 hairpins as you make that way. So while it's only 40 kilometers, that's why it would take you an hour and a half to drive that way. Here in Anse-l'Array one day, they had a good haul of fish, and so these are salted, and they're drying, and it was a good place to stay upwind that day rather than downwind. Sometimes when we are in Sunday school, there are other friends that join us, and this day in Sunday school, one of the men had made a little grass loop, a noose, and Titus was enjoying, I'm not sure if a lizard enjoyed it very much, but he enjoyed catching a lizard. And they're often there joining us in our meetings. Some people ask what the temperature is like or what the weather is like in St. Lucia. And typically we say hot and hotter. And you can see from the thermometer there, that's the inside temperature in our home at 7:30 in the morning. When we're in Canada, and especially in the wintertime, we often check the weather to see what the traffic's going to be like. But for us, it's different. We check the cruise schedule and find out how many cruise boats are going to be docked in the harbor that day, as it can make a big impact on whether you can get through town or not. Sometimes there can be four large cruise ships that dock on the island and can add over 10,000 people onto the island all at once, traveling around and doing whatever tourists do on the island. When you go to buy your groceries, you can get them fresh whenever you want them. I've just put here, fresh is normal, I'm not sure if it's still a fad here, but we also call it farm to table. And you can go down to get your groceries, whatever you would like there at the market. And if you're needing some protein, well, you can always go down to the sea and get some fresh fish. There, the fisherman in Anse-l'Array had just caught a blue marlin, You can see it there in the picture, and I hope that view of raw fish is not going to ruin your lunch today. And if you're not into fish that day and you wanted something else, well, you can always go to the open-air butcher. That cow was killed that morning, and it's been hanging there. It's aging, as we say, and you can pick the type and size and amount of beef you would like at that time. Just to close with a few things to pray for. It's been a time of sowing the past 18 months, a time when we continue to sow the Word of God, and we wait patiently for the harvest. Sometimes we return back to our apartment, and we're just delighted. We've had time for a conversation. We've had time to be able to speak to others. We've opened up the Word of God in the middle of a street somewhere. People that have gathered around to listen and to hear. Maybe it's been a time when we've spoken the truths of the Word of God to believers, to younger believers, and we've seen the, as it were, light bulb turn on, and they've appreciated things of the Word of God. The truth has entered times to delight in. It's also times of disappointments, ones that we thought were beginning to grasp the Word of God, and now they've chosen to carry on in their own way and their own life. Now they're no longer interested. Times of disappointment. Also times of discouragements, whether it's personal and we failed. I mean to understand that there are times of discouragements. Perhaps there are discouragements in assembly life, those various things that surround the assemblies. As we well know, there is much that can discourage us in our lives. But above all, as we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, understanding that the excellency of the power is of God and not of us. And so we trust we're going to know what it is to pray. In St. Lucia, there are assemblies, and there are believers, and there is a need for the gospel. And it's no different from your assembly, and from your fellow believers, and from the need in your community for the gospel. And so when you pray for yourselves, we trust you're going to remember to pray for St. Lucia, and pray for those that are going to hear the gospel there. We pray for faithfulness amongst the believers, and pray for shepherd care and for the next generation to be raised up as we wait for our Lord from heaven. And pray for our family. Much adjustment still in relation to our family. And pray for our children. Often there are circumstances or situations that aren't the most comfortable for ourselves and maybe perhaps especially for the children. And we need to remember that safety or security is really found in the presence of the Lord, and not in really anything that we can provide. And so I trust then as I close that this will give you some insight into the island of St. Lucia and some things to pray for as we consider the work of God even on this small island there in the Caribbean. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for your prayers and for your prayers in the past. It's been much appreciated. There's times when we've gone to bed or woken up in the morning and we're thankful for those that have prayed for us. And so we appreciate it deeply. And we say thank you for your prayers.